Neil, can I make a point that hasn't been made? Just that resistance testing after osimertinib is worth it. We do think that trying a liquid biopsy, getting a biopsy is worth it after osimertinib. There certainly are trials. There certainly are off-label combinations. But it's better to look, certainly better than empirically trying a checkpoint inhibitor, which I wouldn't do. It's worth testing for resistance after osimertinib, just like we learned to do after the first generation EGFR inhibitors.
Matt, I think you had a comment.
I was just going to make a practical comment because I completely agree with Jeff, and I do want to be doing that resistance testing. I admit, though, it's increasingly a challenge in our healthcare market to convince our insurers of that every time. And I know on the NCCN side, trying to be very proactive to put language in NCCN that justifies that decision, but we have definitely had pushback for repeat genomics for the actual procedure of the biopsy itself. So certainly trials help us do that sometimes and kind of fund the biopsy and the analysis. But I admit, even setting a liquid biopsy at the point of progression sometimes is a loaded decision and actually winds up being a financial toxicity discussion with patients. But I hope that with advocacy like Jeff's doing and the emergence of this technology, and hopefully cheaper technology over time, this will be less of a barrier to access.
Jeff, could you just sort of briefly summarize from your point of view, what are some of the mutations that are seen on progression with osimertinib that maybe are treatable even in a community setting right now?
C797S is seen in maybe 10 or 15% of cases, and this mutation can be treated by switching from osimertinib to an earlier generation drug like erlotinib or gefitinib, and there have been anecdotes of reports and there are studies enrolling. MET amplification can be seen around 20% of the time, and it can be treated by combining osimertinib with a MET inhibitor, ideally on a trial like with savolitinib, or off-trial, you sometimes can get off-label crizotinib, and then rarely you can see targetable fusions that are required. You can see RET acquired, ALK acquired. I've seen BRAF fusion acquired. And these can then anecdotally be targeted by combining with target inhibitors to those. And I think that's the beginning, and hopefully we're finding more as we go along.
Could I just ask Justin, because actually Isaac has a case of a patient with EGFR, just as Jeff described, who ended up having an ALK alteration. Justin, I thought these are sort of driver mutations or mutually exclusive. When I heard about this case, I was like, I didn't realize that happens.
I'd want to hear more details. The first time when someone brings up that they find a dual EGFR and ALK positive patient, my first series of questions are, one, is it treatment naive or has a patient had treatment, to Jeff's earlier point that acquired ALK fusions can occur? And then two, if it is treatment naive, I want to know a lot more details about the testing. I want to know where the testing was done, if, because ALK testing, was it FISH, was it NGS, did they use an orthogonal way to prove ALK positivity? So in those cases where it does look like there are two drivers at the same time in a treatment-naive patient, I think having an orthogonal test, so for example, if it was FISH, then doing either NGS or IHC to confirm that it was truly positive. Because when we've looked at over 1,500 cases at MGH, Memorial Sloan Kettering, we found no cases of dual positivity when you actually do extra testing. But there are reports, very rare reports, of that dual positivity.
Interesting.
But at resistance, it can
occur. At resistance, exactly. So at resistance, it certainly can occur. And I think we're having an increased appreciation for fusions because many of us, a couple years ago, we were just test for point mutations, amplification, and we weren't running these fusion panels. And now we have appreciated that we're seeing fusions as mechanisms of resistance.
So Estella, any comments about the issue of testing in general medical oncology practice and just practice in general, getting it paid for?
So the timing is an issue because patients sometimes come in asymptomatic and you do have time to wait. You just have to appease them and calm them. But, you know, as much as some of the liquid plasma liquid biopsies that are available are coming faster and they do have an interface that you can log in into the computer and see at what time those results will come back, they still take 7 to 10 days. And that's sometimes too long for patients to wait. The next generation sequencing becomes more challenging because sometimes they have to procure the tissue, which is in another hospital, so that adds another week and a half delay. Then it gets there, it's not enough tissue, then you have to come back again and decide if you're going to do another biopsy. Sometimes the tissue is there, but they need extra information, so then we have to submit another form. And then lately I've been seeing more pushback from the companies who are doing testing, really trying to get paid before they run the test, which I think even ethically, I feel like if you do have a positive result in your lab, we need this information. So we have to find a way that financially you don't hold on to information that has such a big impact. I mean, ultimately, companies do find a way to provide the information, but all of these things are barriers that really delay the treatment. So sometimes there are cases that we find out a month later that there's a targeted mutation.